That. Thank you, Camille.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, Camille.
My name is Camille. I am an alcoholic, I'm a food addict, and I'm a debtor. I have done the steps according to the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I have made all my amends, and I'm living in steps 10, 11, and 12 to the best of my ability. Thank you so much, Peggy, for being here with me, and thank you all for being here on a football Sunday. This step four is a serious step, but I do not believe that there's anyone here that's not familiar with this step. Now, throughout the book, we have been warned about our selfishness and our self-centeredness, which our book says is the root of our problems. And also, we've been asked, are we convinced, to this point, are we thoroughly, thoroughly convinced that a life run on self-will is the root of our problems? And if we could say yes, then we're ready to move on. If not, we need to go back and look at all the issues that this book has warned us about. From the beginning, it's warned us about the bedevilment on page 52. It's warned us about our physical, mental, spiritual problems. You know, it gave us a lot of warnings right from the beginning, through and through, why we need to look at our lives and why we need to do this step. And even as far back as page 25, when we look at there is a solution, it tells us very clearly on 25.1, there is a solution. Almost none of us like the self-searching, the leveling of our pride, the confessions of shortcomings, which the process requires for its successful consummation. But we saw that it really worked in others, and we had come to believe in the hopelessness and futility of life as we have been living it. So right from that point, it's been telling us we're going to have to do this moral inventory. And now, since we've crossed over to, we finished with step three and we did that third step prayer and everything, now we have to resolutely look at ourselves. And so we started upon a personal inventory. And there's a lot to this inventory, but it doesn't have to be awful. Just because my behavior was awful back then doesn't mean that this inventory really has to be awful. It says, first we searched out the flaws in our makeup. That's my personality. My makeup is my personality, which caused our failure. And being convinced that self manifested in various ways was what had defeated us, we considered as common manifestations. So what I'm here, I'm looking at is what's caused me to be the kind of personality that I was. And it says that resentments is the number one offender. It doesn't say that alcohol was the number one offender or food addiction or anything else. It says resentments was the number one offender. So I have to look at that and say, you know what? When I first came into this program, I didn't think I had any resentments. You know, it's not me. I'm just a nice, likable person. I don't have any resentments. But when I look at the word resentments, it meant a whole lot of different things. You know, that's the beauty of looking at up words that we are told to look up here and there, you know. So we look up resentments, and that is wrong thinking, my wrong thinking, judging, feelings of indignations or bitter hurt, which comes from rightly or wrongly, holding feelings of being injured or offended. If I look at all that, then I could say, yeah, I do have resentments. And sometimes you have them every day, And unless you do that 10-step thing, you may not even realize that you have resentments. But it's the number one offender because it destroys more alcoholics than anything else. And from it stems all forms of spiritual disease. So I had to look at spiritual disease too, you know. As far as spiritual disease were concerned, you know, it's just like, what was my life like spiritually? I had maladies, I had discontentment, I had irritability, I didn't trust God. Those were part of my spiritual maladies and disease that I came with. And we have learned to believe that our sickness, alcoholism, is a disease. And it says, there's a promise in here, it says that when the spiritual malady is overcome, then we straighten out mentally and physically, because it's a spiritual, mental, and physical problem that we have, that we're dealing with, especially when it comes to resentments. Now, the first thing it says that we need to do is to set them on paper. So that's when we pull out a paper and a pen and we write down the names of people, institutions, and principles with whom we were angry. And remember what I said with anger, that it has to do with problems caused by displeasure. And so we asked ourselves why we were angry with these people. And so that's the next column. First of all, is a nice list that we do. We don't go deep into anything. We just, I'm resentful of this person, this person, this person. We write this list down. When we get through with the persons, then we do the institutions, and then we list the principles that we're angry with. And so everything is done in a neat order, and this book is so wonderful because it helps me to stay in focus, stay in the now, stay, what's my next step? What do I have to do? If I get too far advanced, that's going to throw me off track. So staying with the list, and that list is very important because it keeps on telling us to do something with the list, not with the cause, not with the reasons we're angry, but to go back to the list. And so the first time that it asks us to go back to the list is on page 65.3, way down at the bottom. After we have been definite about our work as far as I'm resentful at the cause and it affects my, after we have done that, it tells you to go back to the list. When we were finished, we considered it carefully, and it is the list. We're talking about the list. We went back through our lives. Nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. When we were finished, we considered it carefully. It is the list. And the first thing apparent on that list was that the world and its people were often quite wrong. And to conclude that others were wrong was as far as most of us ever got. And so that's as far as I ever got in any other step work that I did. I always stopped right there. And when I stopped right there, I didn't take care of the spiritual malady. I didn't take care of the issues that were deep down inside my soul, the issues that I needed to work on. They weren't taken care of. The only thing that remained was the negative part. I was still sore. I was still mad at those people. I still hadn't had any kind of resolution. And it says that the usual outcome was that people continued to wrong us and we stayed sore. And if that isn't the truth, then I could have just stopped there and kept on going happy, joyous, and free. But it wasn't. I was still irritable. I was still restless. I was still discontent. I still had the bedevilments. I still had all... I was still acting like a tornado and like the actor, you know, wanting things my way. So it didn't stop there. The relief did not come from there. The restoration does not come at that point. And then because sometimes I still felt remorse. I was still sore. I was still trying to find my own way, like the actor. And when I did that, the worst matters got. Nothing got better from that point. And it warns me, it says, it's plain to see that a life which includes deep resentment leads only to futility and unhappiness. And then I spent a lot of hours just keeping these resentments in my head, wasting time, squandering the hours that I could have been doing something worthwhile, but I didn't. I was too busy drinking the poison and wanting them to die. And it just wasn't working, you know? So it says that the only hope that we have is the maintenance and growth of our spiritual experience, and that resentments are infinitely grave. They're fatal. And to drink for us is to die, because the insanity of the alcohol returns and we just drink again. If we were to be free, we needed to continue this work. If not, we'll continue to be brainstorming this anger, living out this anger, living out this resentment, and not having any sort of resolution in our mind. So then the next time we look at the list, it tells us on 66.3, we turn back to the list, for it held the key to our future. How important is that, to have a key, to have a beginning, a new beginning to my future? Well, it's got to be important, because we're prepared to look at it from an entirely different angle. So if I want to move on from that anguish, from that pain, from that feeling, I need to move on and look at this list. Not the cause, not the effects, but to look at the names on my list again. And it says, we began to see that the world and its people really dominate us. They had control over me. In that state, wrongdoing of others, fancied or real, had the power to actually kill. Then here are some very important questions. How could I escape from that? I've never been able to escape from that point, from that anger point, move on to something else. We saw that these resentments must be mastered. How? How am I going to do this? Well, we could not wish them away any more than we could wish alcohol away. But the solution is on the next page. It says, this was our course. We realized that the people who wronged us were perhaps spiritually sick. Just like me, they said they are spiritually sick. So this is the how. This is the how we're going to master this thing. We're going to sit down and we're going to do the sick man's prayer for these people. We're going to do it until our heart softens. Because if my heart doesn't soften, I'm still going to be in that resentment area. I need to move on and look at it from a totally different angle. And it's the angle of forgiveness. And they give us the best prayer here that we could ever even think of. And we say this prayer until we view each one of these people differently. This is the prayer. It says, we ask God to help us show them the same tolerance, pity, and patience that we would cheerfully grant a sick friend when a person is offended. When a person offended, we said to ourselves, this is a sick man. How can I be helpful to him? God, save me from being angry. That will be done. We avoid retaliation or argument. We wouldn't treat sick people that way. If we do, we destroy our chance of being helpful. We cannot be helpful to all people, but at least God will show us how to take a kindly and tolerant view of each and every one. And that's what we need to do. We need to pray for them until we could get that kindly and tolerant view, until we get that change of heart, until we get that opening. If not, we're still going to be stuck in that resentment area. And it's not going to be helpful. It's not going to be nice. Because it says to drink is to die. And those resentments are number one offenders. And they're going to take us right back to where we were from the beginning. So we do that, and that's what takes time. And this program, to me, it's the restoration process that takes time. There's no time limit here. It doesn't tell you in 1 week or next or then or hereafter, nothing. It just tells you we pray, we ask God. And we do that until we can get that turnaround, so we get that kindly and tolerant view of each and every one. And the tolerant view is an empathetic view where we could see where they are sick. And then, lo and behold, the next paragraph asks us to look at that list again. We're looking at the list now for the third time. It tells us, look at the list, look at the list, look at the list. Now we put out of our minds the wrongs that others had done, and we look at our own mistakes at this point. This is where we do the turnarounds. So by now, we have a kindly and we have a tolerant view of each of the people, institutions, and principles on our list, so that we could go ahead and see where have I been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened. And even though it says some situations may have not been our fault, that's okay. We try to disregard the other person involved entirely, and we ask ourselves, where were we to blame? The inventory was ours, not the other man's. And when we saw our faults, we listed them. We placed them before us in black and white. We admitted our wrongs honestly, and we were willing to set these matters straight. So, you know, we could bear and grin it, or we could take the easier, softer way. We could take the right way. Look at the list. Look at the list. Look at the list. First time we look at this list, we look at it and we say, is that the way that I want to continue living my life? Do I want to continue living my life full of resentments, fears, unhappiness, living my life like a tornado, like an actor, irritable, discontent? Do I want that? Or do I want to seek the spiritual experience? And that's when I start to pray. Because yes, I do want to seek that spiritual experience. And God created all of us. No matter if some of us are sicker than others, He did. He created all of us. And when He created us in His likeness and in His image. Though sometimes we tarnish that, we got to understand that they are sick people. And they have to find their right path too. But meanwhile, it's up to me to look at my side of the story, look at what I'm doing in life, and try to live a better spiritual way of life. And that's what this part of the work brings us to. It brings us to a feel. It brings us to the promises that this book is always talking about. So we avoid retaliation. We avoid argument. We avoid all those things when we're looking for a more, better, more spiritual way of life. So I think that's all I want to say on this. There's a lot more beautiful stuff that I could, you know, talk about. But today, that's all I want to say. Thank you.
Thanks, Camille.